It is indeed a privilege to stand before you and preach God's Word. It has been a privilege for these 4 years to serve as an officer. I still remember my very first IBFNA conference back in Williamsburg, Virginia. My mic is not on. You have to be smart enough to use this. Is it on now? This is why my children don't let me touch technical things, because I usually bust them. They're not here right now. I want to say to Brother Nuttall, thank you for your devotions this morning. And I spent the 45 minutes between that time and this time back in my room making sure my text was right. Pretty sure the interpretation is what God intended. The application, that's up to the Holy Spirit and where He directs you folks. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. I have the privilege of saying that every Sunday, at least twice, and it is indeed a privilege. I've listened to my messages over the years, and it seems like I've ended up in, where I introduce every message that way, but I believe it is not a rut, but a privilege to be able to say, turn in your Bibles. Folks, we have a great God who gave us a great word. And I really do appreciate what was said this morning, because that is my prayer standing before you, is not to give you a whole bunch of ideas that I think are great. Maybe some opinions that I might have. Maybe to read some news articles and give you some wonderful words of wisdom that I could come up with. But our purpose here, whether it be in this room together or back in our churches or even taking the word to the world, is to preach the word of God and to do it without any apology, without any compromise, and stick to what He says. And I appreciate so much the privilege to be able to do that. I'm going to start reading in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 10 through 19, a very familiar passage to you, familiar passage to me over the years since I've been saved and in the ministry, but one which the Lord has challenged me in greatly over the last 6 months. Been preaching through the book of Ephesians, and He has really brought this passage to great light in my life, and I hope to share His word with you today. Starting in verse 10, finally, my brethren, and you know that finally is there for a reason. It's the concluding thoughts to His whole discourse, His whole letter to the Ephesians. This is the conclusion. This is the final place. This is where He wants us to end up. This is what He wants us to take with us from what He has written. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And in case you didn't quite get the point, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Would you bow your hearts and your heads in prayer with me for a moment as we ask the Lord's blessing on His word? Our Father, we do thank You and praise You for this that we have read, this word that You have given us. We thank You for the living word, our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank You for this written word which You have given us to instruct us, to guide us, to show us our way in this world. And we thank You for Your Holy Spirit, who will take this word and impact it in our life so that we can greatly serve You. Lord, may we never just be hearers only, but may we indeed take this and be a doer with it, that we will take it and use it, apply it to our lives, Lord, and may we go out of this service this morning equipped to serve you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have four children. One of them is here with me. She likes to come because she has a good friend here as well. She sees about once a year because they live so many miles apart. But I have four children, of which I am extremely thankful to the Lord. My eldest son, Nathaniel, is 15, and as many young boys his age, he enjoys playing video games. I don't know how you feel about video games. I'm not here to cast judgment on one way or the other, but I'd want to break a point because he has a particular game that, by the way, I try to play those with him, and I usually get frustrated and quit very quickly because I'm just not very good at it. But he, of course, just whips me every time. But he has a video game. It's a boxing game. And in that boxing game, it's one of the things that I've learned about it, the fine art of, and I'm going to try to, I think I have this right, pugilism. Okay, that's for those of you who don't know, that's boxing. Anyway, there's a move that you make in this game. Now, if we were actually just using our hands, I could probably whip him, I think. But because you have to get your fingers to do all those silly little things on that thing, I just can never remember what button to push. But if there's a move that you make when the other guy throws a punch, it's called a counterpunch. And in the game, it is the most effective tool you have. And so I would be throwing a punch in the game, and next thing I know, I'm flat out because he discovered how to do this counterpunch thing. And as I watched him play that game, and in the process of, by the way, God uses his word in every aspect of our lives, doesn't he? Doesn't he use his word? And he brings, for me he does anyway, he brings illustrations out of everything I see from what I read in his word. And yes, I saw his word come to life in a video game. Now that may sound really crazy to some of us, but what I saw was this. In this passage, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's final thoughts to the church at Ephesus, he tells them very plainly to stand. But then he tells them something in verse 13 that goes along with stand. And as I was studying what the Greek was there, it really just, not to appear like I'm trying to be younger than I am, but it blew my mind. It really did. It was amazing because the word in 13 that he uses is withstand. And you know what that basically means? It's stand is to stand firm, histemi, and withstand is antistemi. And it's not only to stand, but it's the next step in standing. It is literally to withstand, to counter. It is a counterpunch. And as I'm watching him play this game, he's standing, and then one guy throws, and he throws a punch back, and he ends up getting, I guess he wins in that. Standing and withstanding. As we think of our conference theme, rooted, built up, and established, this has been given to us in Ephesians chapter 6 to give us not only the strength, but the power to stand and to withstand the forces of the evil one. And what we want to see this morning is that there is not only this physical realm which we live and battle in every day, but behind the scenes, as you well know, is the spiritual realm. And that's where the real fight is, folks. That's what Paul brings out in this passage, is that the physical realm is what we see every day of our lives. But the spiritual realm is really where the battle is. As we have been going through the book of Ephesians, I've told my folks that there are key words to think about. In the physical realm, the word is relationships. If you go back through Ephesians and look from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 5, he brings out in the physical realm in which we live, relationships are key. Of course, the first relationship is the Lord Jesus. But then he brings in all these other relationships that we have to have. But as he transitions over now into the spiritual world, into the spiritual realm, the key word we see is rest. It's resting in what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider spiritual warfare, which Scripture speaks of, how real do we see that? I wonder if many of us and many of those in our churches go about living our lives never realizing how great a spiritual battle is waging behind the scenes that we can't see. There is an interesting illustration I found. It's by a playwright, and I don't know anything about this man. I don't like to use unendorsed illustrations, but I thought this spoke so well to it. His name is David Lodge, and he is a satirical playwright. And he was watching one of his productions come out in New York City. It was off-Broadway, and it was a satirical review. In one of the sketches, a character demonstrated his nonchalance in a job interview by holding a transistor radio to his ear as he's in the interview. Well, what happened at this time is the actor actually liked to tune into real broadcasts just to make it have a real feel to the play. And as he was tuning in and in his acting situation, he actually tuned in to the real-life announcement that President Kennedy had been assassinated. And the entire air of the play was totally just diminished because farce gave way to reality. And folks, we need to wake up, and our churches need to wake up and realize that this physical life which we live is just simply a window behind to the spiritual battle, the spiritual life that is going on. And as we think of being rooted and established and standing, we need to understand that God has equipped us to stand in the evil day and having done all, to stand. For many believers, spiritual warfare is a nonchalant charade. They don't expect anything. They don't expect anything significant could happen, but suddenly when reality breaks through and they're face to face with the realism of what's happening, they fall on their knees and understand that indeed it is a serious battle which is waging. We must see that God instructs us to be prepared for the spiritual warfare that we are in. We must see past what is right in front of us and understand what's going on behind us. There is a serious attack of the wicked. You know what it is. You've experienced it. Here in the IBFNA, we are not strangers to having attacks come our way and being criticized. How prepared are we to wage this battle? How prepared are we to fight indeed for the souls of mankind? Are we indeed ready? There are four things we want to consider in this passage. Four things that we want to see that Paul brings out, and as the wonderful slave to alliteration I am, they all start with the W. And I appreciate so much how God just does that for me. I don't have to work hard at it at all. He just brings the alliteration right there to me. First of all, there is our warfare. Secondly, our weaponry. Thirdly, our watch, and fourthly, our witness. And these are what I wanted to share with you this morning from Ephesians chapter 6. In our warfare, there are four commands given which we are to follow. There's an initial command that we always must continue doing at all times, at all costs. And then there are three commands which enable us to accomplish the first one. Look with me here at verses 10 through 14. First of all, our warfare. The first command we see is a present imperative. It is a command for us. He says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, I want you to understand clearly what this. Now, you know this. I'm preaching to preachers. I'm preaching to folks who have read this passage over and over. But you truly understand what he means when he says, "Be strong." First of all, it is not a request. It is a command. It is an imperative. Be strong. Secondly, it assumes something right off the bat that you cannot ignore. In order to be strong, it doesn't say try to be strong. It doesn't say make every effort to be strong. It doesn't say hope to be strong. It simply says be strong. So we assume right off the bat that that strength is already there. You not only must be strong, you are strong. Do you see the difference? It's not something to strive for. It's not something to wish for. It's not something to accomplish. It's something that simply is. The strength that we possess in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be strong in the Lord. That, of course, tells us that it has to be through Him. You cannot have strength for the spiritual battle unless you are in the Lord. And then also, he says, in the power of His might. And how many of us could attest to the fact when we try to be strong in the power of our might, what happens? How many of us would actually share a testimony of how in the power of my might, I fall flat on my face? And you see, this spiritual battle that he's introducing here in verse 10, this not only applies to the spiritual realm, but it comes into the physical place where we live too. Because if we are going to be strong spiritually, it will bleed over into being strong physically. How many of us need physical strength today? Folks, you don't not only need it, you have it. I was sharing with my dear friend, who I've known for several years, Brother Ralph. I tell you, it's so good to see you folks. Is going back to our Kendall Park days, back in the day, we both had the privilege of serving there and the ministry, as well as Brother Tom, wherever he is. He's here somewhere too. A couple of Kendall Park preachers over here. And I remember once, this was probably, this is years back, brother. Brother Weir and I, we were at, and I think Myrtle, you were there too. We were there in, I believe it was a Friendly Ice Cream. We were having dinner that night after the conference. And Ralph was leaving. He goes, "Well, I'm going back to get a good night's sleep." And I said, "You always get a good night's sleep?" He goes, "Always." I said, "What's the key?" He says, "A clear conscience." Folks, living and being strong, it affects everything about us. It affects where we live. It affects our ministry. It affects the fact that we have been given this glorious privilege of taking God's Word and handling it before the brethren and sharing it to the world. Be strong, brethren. Be strong because you are strong. The second command we see, and that first command, by the way, present imperative, this is something which we continually always do. It's not a question. It is ongoing in our life. Present, right now, present tense. Continue, totally, always going forward. But the next three are in the aorist tense, aorist imperatives. And this is the fact that at this moment do this. So what we see is the first command to be strong, but the second and third command now apply to the armor. In verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." There's your second command. Clothe yourself with the armor God provides. We're going to look at the armor, and I do not have enough time this morning to develop the armor in detail. But I'll just give you a couple of highlights about it. But one thing I want you to understand about the armor is that every piece of that armor is something that you already possess. We already have it. Think about it. The breastplate of righteousness. You can stand before God because you have the righteousness of Christ. The helmet of salvation. Are you saved this morning? Praise God. We have it. Every one of those pieces of armor is something that you already possess. All he says is put it on. Clothe yourself with it. Apply it to your life. Live in it. Put on the whole armor of God. And you do that because then he tells you that there is a simple resulting action from it. Because when you put on the whole armor of God, what does he say in verse 11? At this point in our service, I usually get my folks to repeat it to me, to tell me what he says. I won't do that to you this morning. But what he says is that you may be able to stand. There's that word, histeme. Stand. What does that mean? It means to be established. Right back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, our theme verses for the conference. To be established, to hold up, to stand firm. It's that boxing stance. It's that stance that is ready. You are ready for whatever could come at you. Whatever Satan could hurl your way, you are ready for it. When health problems come, and just sharing with some of you here, some of us are going through, I should say some of you, are going through some serious health problems. I think of my dear friend, and I was talking with Brother Sloan about that earlier, Eldon Stevens. I tell you, if you don't know Eldon, you're missing something. He is one of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet. Sit with Eldon Stevens and watching him in the middle of a restaurant taking his diabetes shot and just right in front of the waitress stick himself right in the stomach. Nobody could do that but Eldon. Eldon's just wonderful. And Eldon is going through some serious health problems right now. But if you read his email, you don't hear him complaining. You don't hear him whining. Because he has understood what being strong is. And he is standing. Even though the physical body is deteriorating, he's standing because it is not physical, it is spiritual. And when we have the spiritual in place, the physical, it really comes into understanding that this is not our home. What's the song say? This world is not my home. You know it. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Are they? Are we living in the spiritual? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. As you put it on and you're strong, you stand. And what do you stand against? You stand against the wiles of the devil, the wrestling with principalities, wrestling with powers, rules of darkness of this world. If you don't understand what those are, you need to turn on the news a little bit more and see what's happening all around us. We need to understand that there is a battle going. The third command is, he repeats it. Wherefore, because of what we've read in verses 11 and 12, because of that battle, take the whole armor of God. And this is not the idea of putting on, of clothing yourself. Now he says, claim it. Live in it. Stand in it. Because you have that armor. It is yours. You possess it. Use it. And because you have that armor, in verse 13, you may be able to withstand. And there's that. There's the other word we refer to. This is antistemy. This is the idea of a counterattack. I love history. I'm a student of history. One of my favorite historical subjects is the Civil War. And living in Pittsburgh, I'm only about 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours tops, away from Gettysburg. A few years ago, my church, along with two other churches, had the privilege of going down to Gettysburg. We were able to stay with Brother Al, and he was very hospitable, his church. They threw us a party when we got there. It was really kind of fun. And we got to tour the battle site of Gettysburg. And one of my favorite situations in that battle is the Battle of Little Round Top. And some of you have seen it enacted in the film Gettysburg. But if you study that battle, they stood to right to the end, that 20th Maine on that angle, right at the top of the hill. And they stood right there until they couldn't stand anymore. And then what did they do? They didn't surrender, but they counterattacked. And they charged. And that's what this word means, folks. Listen, we do not have to win the war, do we? Do we have to win the war against Satan? That was a little half-hearted. I'm a little worried about you. We don't! We don't have to win the war. What we have to do is win the battles that we are given every day. God has already won the war. The battles are what we have to fight. But when we understand that the war is already won, it becomes a no-brainer. That we not only stand, but when we have the opportunity, we withstand. We oppose. We attack when need be. We are not here to win the war. But we are here for the souls of mankind. And sometimes that means going out and retrieving them, as Jude says, snatching them from the fire. Withstand, folks. It's not just a defensive posture, but it actually is an aggressive, offensive posture that we can take the battle right to the enemy. Withstand against the evil one. And then he goes on to say, and having done all, having accomplished all of what I've told you, you will stand. Here, this is in the aorist infinitive. It is a result of withstanding and standing. You will stand. And then, like I said, in case you missed it, one final command, verse 14, stand, therefore. And that is an imperative to stand. Well, just let me break it down into very simple. I did this for my folks, and I thought this would be helpful this morning. I call this a simple timeline of the warfare of God. Number one, always be strong, because you are. This is the command to be strong. No room for weakness because of what we have as Christians. You can and you will be strong. At this very moment, put on God's armor. Clothe yourself with it. You already have it. Use it. The result of putting on the armor of God is you will be standing. You will stand absolutely. What will you stand against? You'll stand against the wiles of the devil. So take that armor right now and use it not only for defense, but for offense. Use it as not only a stance, but as a counter blow, as a counter offense. The counter attack which defeats Satan when he will attack. The armor, you deflect the blow and counter with a more powerful blow. Our role is not to wage war against the evil one. Our purpose is to see men's souls saved and honor God. But in the battle for the souls of men, we have a ready counterattack which we can send the enemy reeling. And when it's all said and done, you will stand. You will stand. And then he goes on, and I'll just mention this very briefly. He goes on to list our weaponry. Have you ever thought about why he uses armor here? There's a very interesting passage which, as I was doing my study of this, the Lord brought to my attention. Turn back with me in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah. Maybe some of you already know this. You've studied this before. But in Isaiah chapter 59, as Isaiah is pleading before the Lord for the sins of Israel, he brings to light something which we have here in the dispensation of the church, but it is based on something that has long been standing before the church age. Look with me. I'm going to start reading at verse 12. This is Isaiah talking about Israel. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Doesn't that kind of sound like the day we live in? It's not that different. In fact, it's pretty close. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. This armor which we possess is nothing new. This is the same armor which clothed the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His armor, folks. And as we look back in Ephesians chapter 6, and we see the six pieces of armor that are there, you know what they are. The belts of truth, or you might call it the girdle of truth, is actually how it would best translate out. The breastplate of righteousness. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The helmet, the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. These are what we possess because of Jesus Christ. They are His, and He gives them to us. How's that for something to be strong with? You already possess them. We simply have to wield them. And he ends this idea of the weaponry with the subject of prayer. And these first two, the warfare and the weaponry, they really prepare us for what the battle is. And the battle is the last two W's that I already mentioned, our watch and our witness. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. These are the two areas of prayer that we must never forget, that we must take into the battle with us. They are prayer. They are praying for the equipping of the brethren and the saving of the lost souls of man. This is the idea of our watch, folks. What does it mean to watch? It means to stay awake, to understand that we cannot fall asleep. We cannot let our guard down. We must wake up. We must stay awake, and we must be ready to take the battle to the enemy where it's needed. Are we awake, or are we oblivious to the needs of our brethren? We have a responsibility to those around us. He says in verse 18, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are you watching out for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you taking the needs of those around you and bringing them before the Lord? He uses two words there in relation to our watching each other. The two words are perseverance, which is the idea of being persistent. Are you persistent with the Lord in your prayer life? Are you persistent in your watching out for each other? And then he uses supplication, which is petition, which is bringing it before the Lord. We're called to bring each other before God. This is not something which is always well received, being a watchman for the church. You will be accused of judging. You will be accused of, as we call it in Pittsburgh, nebbing. I don't know if you have that term anywhere else, being nebby, but that basically means being nosy, being a busybody. I have a couple of nebby kids of my own. They always seem to want to get in everybody else's business. But you know what? We are called to do that as Christians. We are called to look out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is our responsibility before the Lord to be a watchman with all perseverance and supplication. And what if they label you as a judger? What if they label you as a nosy busybody? If you're doing your honor and your responsibility before the Lord, folks, that's what's important. It's not always going to be easy. But you are a watchman for God. And we must do that. Not only that, but we have a witness before the world. Paul says in verse 19, "As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Bold utterance. Are we ready to stand, withstand, and watch and witness? It is easy to ride on the coattails of those who have gone before us. It is easy to stand back and let others do the job and let others do the work of the Lord. I see here in the IBFNA, I've been in the IBFNA now for about 12, maybe 13 years, and I've seen great men who I have modeled my life and ministry after the Lord Himself, of course. But you know what? It's time for some of us to step up to the task of what the Lord needs in our churches. It's time for us to be the watchmen. We hear of, I want to say doctor. There I go, Bob, slipping into that pattern again. I can't do it with something. I can't call Dr. Colas other than Dr. Colas. I just can't do it. But we see Dr. Colas, Brother Colas, health slipping. We see Brother Brown, my dear, dear mentor, Dwayne Brown, his health slipping. Men who are here, it is time for us to stand up, to stand, to withstand, to watch, and to witness. Where the IBFNA goes in the next 20 years is up to us. Now it's up to the Lord, but He's looking to us to take the reins and to lead in the battle for this work that He has for us. Are we ready to do that? Are we willing to stand and withstand against the wiles of the evil one? And above all, when it's all said and done, we will be standing. Would you stand with me, with the Lord?